Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. 100 years ago, there was a Norwegian Lutheran theologian by the name of O. Hallesby, and he wrote these words: "Dear child of God, bring your complaints to God and pour out your troubles. Yes, make supplication and pray. He rejoices in you and hears your sorrows graciously for Christ's sake. But thank Him too. He waits for that. You make His heart glad. You honor Him by doing so." When I show this to people and I ask, "What do you see here?" Most people say, "Well, I see a dot." And I say, "You don't see a dot. You see 98% of a white piece of paper. Only 2% is the dot." And my point is, yes, talk to God about what's wrong in your life, but remember to praise Him for the 98% that's going well. I've shared this before, but maybe the best habit I ever developed about 20 years ago, every night before I go to bed, I think back through the day, and I thank God for 5 things. So what I want to do on this program, let's thank God for 6 things, THANKS, and let's pray before we begin. Father, we just ask You to help us be thankful people, just praising You day and night and talking about our sorrows, but Lord, remind us to regularly thank You for all the wonderful things You do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. THANKS. See if you can figure out what the T stands for. This is from Matthew chapter 28. Jesus is risen from the dead. He sends the disciples into the world to convert the world. And His last words in Matthew: "Disciples, go ye therefore, baptizing them in the name singular of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." Can you guess what T stands for? The Trinity. Christians believe there's only one God, but in the Godhead, in the one God are three eternal persons: God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So I'm very thankful I know the true God. You know, I'm a Lutheran, and if someone would leave my church and go Presbyterian or non-denominational or Baptist or Pentecostal, didn't bother me too much. If they left for the Unitarian Church, the Mormon Church, the Jehovah's Witness Church, the Unity Church, I'd get really nervous because they have left true biblical Christianity. You need to believe in the Trinity to be a Christian. And some people like this, they say, ice is water, snow is water, steam is water, one substance, water, but three different forms. Even so, God the Father is God, the Holy Spirit is God, Jesus is God, only one God, but three persons. And I think that's okay, but don't press that too hard or you become a heretic, because the one God is always Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He doesn't change from one. He's always one God in three persons. But I am thankful that I know the true God, the one God in three persons, the Holy Trinity. That's T. See if you can see what H stands for. John chapter 14, Jesus said, "Disciples, I go and prepare a place for you." And what is that place? H stands for heaven. I've been a pastor many years. I can't tell you how many funeral sermons I have preached. What would I do at a funeral if I couldn't talk about heaven? I am thankful for heaven. It gets people through a funeral. I mean, and the story that I tell at my funerals, little girl lives right next to the graveyard. Every day she skips home from school through the graveyard to get home. An elderly gentleman sees this. One day he stops her. "Little girl, I see you doing this. aren't you afraid in this big graveyard to come through all by yourself? And she said, no, sir, because I know my home is right on the other side. And what I say at a funeral is, one day you will have a funeral and you'll have to go into that graveyard. It's a lot easier going into the gravestone knowing your home is right on the other side. I'm thankful for heaven. I'm thankful for the Trinity, heaven. See if you can figure out what A stands for. This is from Psalm 86. In the day of trouble, I shall call upon you, Lord, and you will answer me. Do you know what A stands for? Answers to prayer. Think of all the times in your life God has answered your prayers. I believe it was after World War II, there was a church in England that was raising money for a memorial for all the soldiers that died in the war. And one wife in church turns to her husband and said, well, let's give a donation for the sake of our son, Jonathan. And the husband said, but Jonathan didn't die in the war. And the wife said, precisely. Let us give a donation because he didn't die. Thank God for all the A answers to prayer. We thank him for being the triune God. We thank him for heaven. We thank him for answers to prayer. See if you can figure out what N stands for. Paul the Apostle has this thorn in the flesh. We're not sure what it was, but he says, God, take this away. And in 2 Corinthians 12, God says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. So what does N stand for? No. Even when God answers every prayer that you pray, but some of his answers are no. Even when he says no, thank him for that. You've heard me quote Billy Graham's wife, I'm glad I did not have God answer all my prayers. If he did, I would have married the wrong man 5 times. Jean Ingelou, French philosopher, said, I have lived to thank God he did not answer all my prayers. So we even thank God when he says no, because he knows better than we do and he's just taking care of us. The Trinity, heaven, answers to prayer, no. See if you can see what K stands for. This is from Psalm 127. Behold, children are a gift from the Lord. You know what K stands for? Kids. Kids, according to that verse, are a gift from the Lord, which is why we value unborn children and born children as gifts from God. There's a Planned Parenthood abortion clinic now, 2 minutes from my house. I drive by it, not every day, but very often. I have to pray, oh Lord, may the people in that place not do abortions. May people be turned away. And God bless, there are Christians in front praying at the abortion clinic, but we need to value children as gifts from God. I'm single, never been married, don't have any kids, but now and then I have kind of needed to have a kid fix. And there are families of the church, they'll have me over for dinner, and I can play with their kids. So praise God if you've got kids or grandkids in your life. They're huge blessings from God. I thank God for the Trinity, for heaven, for answers to prayer. I thank him for no when he says no. The last thing, K, I thank him for kids. It's S. What does S stand for? This is from Acts chapter 16. The Philippian jailer said to Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. What does S stand for? Oh, I'm thankful for salvation. Let me explain the gospel, the good news. Listen carefully. I am a sinner. You are a sinner. We all deserve hell because of our sin. But God loved us so much that God came from heaven, sent his only son, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, became a human being at Bethlehem. He lived to be about 32 years old. He never sinned. And so when he goes to the cross, he can pay for our sins. And Jesus is punished and takes the punishment for our sin so that God the Father can forgive us and we can be saved. I thank God for salvation. In India, there was a story of a little girl and the cobra sunk its fangs into her arm. Her brother saw this, ran over, sucked the poison out of her arm, and she was saved. He spit the blood out, but he had an open sore in his mouth. The venom got in the sore, killed the brother. That's what Jesus did for us. Sin is the venom. We deserve punishment for our sins because God is a holy God, but he's also a loving God. So Jesus on the cross took the venom, took the wrath of God for our sins so we could be saved. I've told you before about Homer Wheaton. Homer Wheaton was an older single man during World War I. He volunteered to go overseas to fight. And a newspaper said, well, you're a little old and you don't have to go. And he said, but perhaps I can take the place of a man with wife and children. Homer Wheaton goes overseas. It's February 27th, 1918. He's in the trench with eight other soldiers. And one of the soldiers accidentally drops the grenade and the pin has come out. And Homer Wheaton threw himself on the grenade. It killed him, but the other eight men were saved. And he was the first soldier ever to receive the American Distinguished Service Cross. That's what Jesus did on the cross. The grenade is the wrath of God. Jesus throws himself on the cross. He gets punished for our sins so that we can be saved. So, before you go to bed tonight, would you think through the day and think, and before you go to bed, thank God for five things. You know, God, thank you that I didn't get in a car accident today. Thank you for the food you put on my table. Thanks for my kids. You know, and just, what do we thank God for chiefly? We thank him for himself, the Holy Trinity. We thank him for heaven. We thank him for answers to prayer. We thank him when he says no. We thank him for kids. And lastly, we thank him for salvation. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study, where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question from a viewer. I live in South Dakota and have been a member of the ELCA Lutheran Church for years. I heard you mention that the ELCA holds a pride camp in Custer, South Dakota, and sure enough, you were correct. I checked into things further and was saddened by the ELCA stance on abortion and that the ELCA has 10 openly gay bishops. I've spoken to my pastor about it. He said that he would never preach against homosexuality because he has a dear friend who is married. Homosexual pastor in a neighboring community. He also asked me if I considered that some things in the Bible didn't pertain to today's world. I said, absolutely not. The Word of God transcends time, and the Word of God remains constant. For now, we are still members of our church, but we are not convinced we should stay. Your thoughts?
And I wrote him, time to leave the ELCA. Time for everybody to leave the ELCA. And I'm going to show you this. I showed it before, but this is the staff, one's a pastor right there, of the Outlaw Ranch Lutheran Camp Gay Pride Week for 14-year-olds through 18-year-olds. They're having their fourth annual Gay Pride Camp. Now, Mona, this grieves me because that's the camp I went to as a teenager. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful. It was biblical. I would send no one to Outlaw Ranch Lutheran Camp in Custer, South Dakota. Because here's what they're doing. Are they going to teach these students that struggle with homosexuality that not to go into the behavior? Oh, no. They will only hear messages free of judgment and full of affirmation. And they have revamped the gendered bathrooms and cabins. Youth will be able to receive their preferred pronouns. And we will help them be their authentic selves at Outlaw Lutheran Camp's Pride Camp. Now, Mona, so if you go to my website and you hit the F button for Facebook, I have this article up there. Okay. But so,
an official from the ELCA at National Headquarters in Chicago. He's a ELCA Lutheran pastor married to a man. Mm-hmm. He sees that article I put up and didn't like it, and he must know that I have struggled with same-sex attraction, but that I've been celibate my whole life, mm-hmm. and he doesn't like that. Listen to what he wrote. Pastor Brock, you would rather see these kids hate themselves and attempt suicide, apparently, so they can be as miserable as you have been your whole life. I didn't know I was miserable. All right. Shame on you, Pastor Brock. Do you have any idea of the rate of self-harm for LGBTQ teens? And it's because of people like you. The love of God is not in you. You cling to the law and know nothing of the gospel. Hmm. Well, here's a man. He's a pastor in the ELCA. He is married to a man. Well, of course he's not going to like me because I convict him of his sin by being single and celibate. Hmm. And he wants these kids to affirm this stuff, too. Mona, 1 Corinthians 6 says, if you live in homosexual sin, you're not going to heaven. Mm-hmm. Do we love these kids or not? If I was face to face with this pastor, I'd say, I don't care if you're a pastor or a bishop. Mm-hmm. If you're living in that sin, 1 Corinthians 6 says, you need to repent and turn from that, get unmarried to this guy, and stop having gay sex. Mm-hmm. That's the loving thing. It'd be hateful to tell these kids to go ahead. Do we not care where they spend eternity? So there you go, everybody. Don't go to Outlaw Ranch Lutheran Camp. Find another place to take your kids.
Wasn't it Pastor Maynard Force who said you can love a person right into hell?
We are nicing people into hell, mm-hmm. was Maynard's point. There you go.
Okay.
Thanks.
Pastor Brock, the Trinity is nowhere in the Bible. The Trinity is a man-made doctrine invented by Emperor Constantine in 326 A.D.,
And again, this might be a Jehovah's Witness writing this because they don't believe in the Trinity, and they think the Trinity is of the devil because the word is not in the Bible. Our response, the concept of the Trinity mm-hmm. is in the first chapter. God created. The Spirit of God is moving on the face of the waters. God said Jesus is the Word of God. And then the last words of Christ on earth in Matthew, baptized in the name singular of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There's one God in three persons. Mm-hmm. So, you know, call it what you want. As long as you believe in one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that's biblical. And no, the Emperor Constantine did not invent the doctrine of the Trinity in 325. What was happening, there was a heretic called Arius in the church that was spreading the belief that Jesus is not God. Jesus is created by God the Father. Jesus is not eternally God with the Father. And he was dividing the church. So the church had to come together. They came up with the Nicene Creed, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, and in Jesus Christ, the only Son of our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit, you know, to battle Arianism. But did the church invent the Trinity? No, the Trinity invented the church. So I think that person doesn't know their history very well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
All righty. If Jesus is God, who was he talking to in the Garden of Gethsemane? Himself?
Yeah, now again, people who reject the Trinity say that I have wrecked it. When Jesus was praying in the garden, it was God the Son mm-hmm. talking to God the Father. Well, how can that be? I don't know. I don't know. Somebody said, he who doubts the Trinity will lose his salvation. He who tries to understand the Trinity will lose his mind. Mm-hmm. But in the Trinity, even though there's only one God, there are distinctions between the three persons. So when Jesus prayed to God, it was the Son praying to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We just accept it.
Yeah.
I believe only Jesus is God. The Father is another way of talking about Jesus creating the world. The Spirit is a way of talking about how Jesus relates to our lives today. But there is only one God, and his name is Jesus.
Yeah. Now, this is, I think, a United Pentecostal. Pentecostalism is Trinitarian, mm-hmm. but there's a small group, not part of the Assemblies of God, called the United Pentecostals. And Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe Jesus is God, only the Father's God. United Pentecostals don't believe in the Father and the Spirit, only Jesus is God. They're mm-hmm. called Jesus only. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes Jesus appears like the Father and like the Spirit, but it's only one Jesus. Well, that's an ancient heresy called modalism,
mm-hmm.
that sometimes God appears as the mode of the Father, sometimes he comes out as the Son, sometimes as the Spirit, but not three persons, but three different ways of expressing himself. Mm-hmm. Well, again, that's not biblical. God is always Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not three temporary modes. He's always one God in three persons, from eternity unto eternity. So if you're a member of a Pentecostal church, I can live with that. If you're United Pentecostal, join a biblical. I had a man, a pastor, I think he was, said he's been United Pentecostal for many, many years. I think he's getting out. And I encourage him to find a good Pentecostal church to join. There you go.
Okay. Shouldn't Christians just believe in the Bible, not in man-made creeds?
You know, Mona, if you go to Catholic, Lutheran, Methodist, Presbyterian church, often you hear the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, the only Son, our Lord. Or you hear the Nicene Creed that we just talked about. I believe in one God, very similar to the Apostles' Creed. Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we just follow the Bible? I don't believe in man-made creeds. The man-made creeds are simply summaries of the Bible. Mm-hmm. I think all Christians, pretty much, everything in the Apostles' Creed is biblical. Mm-hmm. Christ died, he rose, he's coming back. Same with the Nicene Creed. So do you have to use a man-made creed in your church? No, but I think it's very helpful. Okay. I remember a seminary professor saying, if your preacher doesn't have the sense to preach the gospel, people will hear it when they hear the Apostles' Creed. I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I like having it in the service. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which churches accept the Trinity? Which churches reject the Trinity?
Catholic, Lutheran, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, most of the non-denominational churches, virtually all Christian churches believe in the Trinity.
Okay.
The Jehovah's Witnesses reject the Trinity. The Mormons reject the Trinity. The Unity Church rejects the Trinity. I wouldn't go to a Christian Science church. But Mona, the most liberal Protestant denomination is the United Church of Christ. Believe it or not, they are to the left of the ELCA Lutherans. Mm. Yeah. And they've been radically liberal for years. Used to be a UCC, congregational pastor, you had to believe in the Trinity. Not anymore. Mm. You can deny the Trinity. You can deny Jesus' deity. You can hold a Unitarian view of God and be a pastor in the UCC. So I can't recommend the UCC even anymore. And so there you go.
Sad day.
Yeah.
Is it true that Muslims believe in Jesus, that he was born of a virgin, and that he is coming again?
It is true. They believe Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. They believe mm-hmm. in the virgin birth, believe it or not. They also believe that Jesus will return and judge the world. Mm-hmm. Are they Christians? No. They reject the Trinity. They think the Trinity is of the devil. Mm-hmm. They reject the belief that Jesus is God. They think that's high heresy. Only Allah is God. Well, Jesus is Allah. And they also teach that Jesus didn't really die on the cross. Some of them teach that Judas is the one who substituted himself. Judas died on the cross, but Jesus never did. So Islam is not, if anybody is Muslim watching this, please consider Christianity. And no, Christians do not believe in three gods. We believe in one God in three persons. Muslims think we are polytheists, that we believe in three gods. No, we don't. We believe in one God.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Bible says Elijah returned as John the Baptist. So is the Bible teaching reincarnation?
The Bible, reincarnation is the Hindu belief that when you die, you might come back as a person again, or as a horse, or some other thing, and you keep coming back and getting reborn on earth until you empty yourself of bad karma, and then you get kind of absorbed into the universe. So do Christians believe in reincarnation? It doesn't say that Elijah was... The Bible says that... It's in Luke chapter 1, verse 17, mm-hmm. that John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Bible is teaching that Elijah got reincarnated in mm-hmm. John the Baptist. But when John the Baptist came along, he came in the spirit and power of the Old Testament prophet Elijah. And the reason we don't believe in reincarnation is because Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "It is appointed unto man to die once, and after that comes judgment." Mm-hmm. You don't keep coming back to the planet. You die once, and then you're judged by God. There you
Amen.
Go. Yeah.
Will we remember our lives on earth when we are in heaven?
I don't know. But when Jesus rose from the dead, mm-hmm. even though he had a glorified body now mm-hmm. that could go in and out of rooms without opening the door, he still had the nail prints on his mm-hmm. hand. Mm-hmm. So I think there will be some semblance of our old life in our new life in heaven. Will we remember our lives on earth? Well, Jesus said, you'll see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob mm-hmm. in heaven, and I've never seen them. So I think we'll have supernatural knowledge of the saints and what happened to us when we were on earth. Mm-hmm. So probably, but I don't know a verse that clearly answers that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do we go to heaven when we die, or do we sleep in the grave and go to heaven after Judgment Day?
Yeah. There are two views that Christians hold, mm-hmm. and I don't think you're a heretic if you hold either one. The first view, not very popular these days, is called soul sleep, mm-hmm. that when you die, you go to sleep. And the dead in Christ are not in heaven yet. They're sleeping. And they're waiting for the second coming of Christ when they'll be raised from the dead and given their new bodies. Martin Luther believed in soul sleep. And the Lutheran Church didn't follow him on that one. In fact, they asked him, what do you think will be the first thing you hear when you die? And I'll hear someone knocking on my coffin. Time to get up, Dr. Luther. And he thought, even though when you die, it would seem immediate when you're raised from the dead. Mm-hmm. The other view is the immediate view. And this is the view that most Christians hold. I do too. When you die, your spirit immediately mm-hmm. goes to heaven. And why do I believe that? Because when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah, they weren't sleeping. Mm-hmm. They were talking. Mm-hmm. And Paul says in Corinthians, you know, I'm torn between the two, whether to die or live. It's better to depart and mm-hmm. be with Christ. I don't mm-hmm. think he was talking about sleep mm-hmm. at that point. And also you got the thief on the cross. Today you will be with me in mm-hmm. paradise. So most Christians believe in that you immediately go to heaven. All right, so what do we do with the verses about being raised from the dead on the mm-hmm. last day? Well, the way I put it all together, I think I'm right, but you know, some of this only the Lord knows. Your spirit immediately goes to be with Christ. I think my grandma's in heaven. But she does not yet have her resurrection body. And on the last day, all the saints come, and everybody is judged. And at that point, Christians are given their new resurrected bodies to live in for eternity. Perfect new bodies. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Good answer.
All right, thank you.
Well, we're almost out of time.
Oh, we sure are. Well, everybody, thanks for watching our program. We ask you to pray for us. We're on all over the country now. If the Lord nudges you to support us, we are in a little bit of a dip right now, so we don't want to withdraw from stations. Pray about it, and there's our website if you want to support us or listen to our shows, or the address will be in a minute.
Psalms 119:11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. God bless you. Have a good week. See you next time on The Pastor Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.